Under Milk Wood by Dylan Thomas.
To begin at the beginning. It is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black, the cobble streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow-black fishing boat bobbing sea. The houses are blind as moles, though moles see fine tonight in the snouting velvet dingles, or blind as Captain Cat there in the muffled middle by the pump and the town clock, the shops in mourning, the welfare hall in widow's weeds, and all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now. Hush! The babies are sleeping. The farmers, the fishers, the tradesmen and pensioners, cobblers, schoolteacher, postman and publican, the undertaker and the fancy woman, drunkard, dressmaker, preacher, policeman, the webfoot cockle women, and the tidy wives. Young girls lie bedded soft or glide in their dreams with rings and trousseaus, brides mated by glowworms down the aisles of the organ-playing wood. The boys are dreaming wicked, or of the bucking ranches of the night and the jolly rogered sea. And the anthracite statues of the horses sleep in the fields, and the cows in the byres, and the dogs in the wet-nosed yards, and the cats nap in the slant corners, or lope sly, streaking and needling on the one cloud of the roofs. You can hear the dew falling, and the hushed town breathing. Only your eyes are unclosed to see the black and folded town fast and slow asleep. And you alone can hear the invisible starfall, the darkest before dawn minutely dew-gray stir of the black, dab-filled sea, where the Arethusa, the Curlew, the Skylark, Zanzibar, Rhiannon, the Rover, the Cormorant, and the Star of Wales tilt and ride. Listen. It is night, moving in the streets, the processional salt, slow musical wind in Coronation Street and Cockle Row. It is the grass growing on Claregib Hill, dewfall, starfall, the sleep of birds in Milk Wood. Listen, it is night in the chill, squat chapel, hymning in bonnet and brooch and bombazine black, butterfly choker and bootlace bow, coughing like nanny goats, sucking mintos, 40 winking hallelujah. Night in the four ale, quiet as a domino, in Ockie Milkman's lofts, like a mouse with gloves, in Dye Bread's bakery, flying like black flour. It is tonight in Donkey Street, trotting silent with seaweed on its hooves, along the cockled cobbles, past curtained fern pot, text and trinket, harmonium, holy dresser, watercolours done by hand, china dog and rosy tin tea caddy. It is night, neddying among the snuggeries of babies. Look, it is night, dumbly, royally winding through the coronation cherry trees, going through the graveyard of Bethesda with winds gloved and folded and dew-doffed, tumbling by the sailors' arms. Time passes. Listen. Time passes. Come closer now. Only you can hear the houses sleeping in the streets in the slow, deep, salt and silent, black, bandaged night. Only you can see in the blinded bedrooms the combs and petticoats over the chairs, the jugs and basins, the glasses of teeth, thou shalt not on the wall, and the yellowing dicky bird watching pictures of the dead. Only you can hear and see behind the eyes of the sleepers the movements and countries and mazes and colours and dismays and rainbows and tunes and wishes and flight and fall and despairs and big seas of their dreams. From where you are, you can hear their dreams. Captain Cat, the retired blind sea captain, asleep in his bunk in the sea-shelled ship-in-bottle ship-shaped best cabin of schooner house. Dreams of...
Never such seas as any that swamped the decks of his SS Kidwelly, bellying over the bedclothes and jellyfish slippery, sucking him down salt deep into the Davy Dark, where the fish come biting out and nibble him down to his wishbone, and the long drowned nuzzle up to him.
Remember me, Captain?
You're dancing, Williams.
I lost my step in Nantucket.
Do you see me, Captain, the white bone talking? I'm Tom Fred, the donkey man. We shared the same girl once. Her name was Mrs. Probert.
Rosie Probert, 33 Duck Lane. Come on up, boys. I'm dead.
Hold me, Captain. I'm Jonah Jarvis, come to a bad end. Very enjoyable.
Alfred Pomeroy Jones, sea lawyer. Born in mumbles, sung like a linnet, crowned you with a flagon, tattooed with mermaids, thirst like a dredger, died of blisters.
This skull at your ear all is?
Curly Bevan, tell my auntie it was me that pawned the Ormolu clock.
Aye, aye, Curly.
Tell my missus, no, I never.
I never done what she said, I never.
Yes, they did.
And who brings coconuts and shawls and parrots to my Gwen now?
How's it above?
Is there rum and lava bread?
Bosoms and robins?
Concertinas?
Ebenezer's bell?
Fighting and onions?
And sparrows and daisies?
Tiddlers in a jam jar?
Buttermilk and whippets?
Rockabye baby?
Washing on the line?
And old girls in the snug?
How's the tenors in Dowlais?
Who milks the cows in my squin?
When she smiles, is there dimples?
What's the smell of parsley?
Oh, my dead dears.
From where you are, you can hear in Cockle Row in the spring moonless night, Miss Price, dressmaker and sweet shopkeeper, dream of
her lover. Tall as the town clock tower, Samson syrup gold-maned, whacking-thighed and piping hot, thunderbolt-based and barnacle-breasted, flailing up the cockles with his eyes like blow-lamps, and scooping low over her lonely, loving, hot water bottle body.
Vannoy Price.
Mr. Morgedrat.
I am a draper mad with love. I love you more than all the flannelette and calico, Candlewick, dimity, crash and merino, tussor, creton, crepon, muslin, poplin, ticking and twill in the whole cloth hall of the world. I have come to take you away to my emporium on the hill, where the change hums on wires. Throw away your little Welsh bed socks and your Welsh wool knitted jacket. I will warm the sheets like an electric toaster. I will lie by your side like the Sunday roast.
I will knit you a wallet of forget-me-not blue for the money to be comfy. I will warm your heart by the fire, so that you can slip it in under your vest when the shop is closed.
Mavannoy, Mavannoy, before the mice gnaw at your bottom drawer, will you say...
Yes, Mog, yes, Mog, yes, yes, yes.
And all the bells of the tills of the town shall ring for our wedding.
Come now. Drift up the dark. Come up the drifting sea-dark street now in the dark night, seesawing like the sea. To the Bible-black, airless attic over Jack Black, the cobbler shop, where alone and savagely Jack Black sleeps in a nightshirt tied to his ankles with elastic and dreams of...
Chasing the naughty couples down the grass-green gooseberry double bed of the wood, flogging the tosspots in the spit and sawdust, driving out the bare, bold girls from the sixpenny hops of his nightmares.
Ach, Harry! Ach, Harry!
Evans the Death, the Undertaker,
laughs high and aloud in his sleep and curls up his toes as he sees, upon waking 50 years ago, snow lie deep on the goose field behind the sleeping house. And he runs out into the field where his mother is making Welsh cakes in the snow and steals a fistful of snowflakes and currants and climbs back to bed to eat them, cold and sweet, under the warm white clothes. while his mother dances in the snow kitchen, crying out for her lost currants.
And in the little pink-eyed cottage next to the undertaker's lie alone the 17 snoring gentle stone of Mr. Waldo. Rabbit catcher, barber, herbalist, cat doctor, quack, his fat pink hands palms up over the edge of the patchwork quilt, his black boots neat and tidy in the washing basin, his bowler on a nail above the bed, a milk stout and a slice of cold bread pudding under the pillow, and dripping in the dark, he dreams of...
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed at home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. And this little piggy went...
Wee, 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 wee.
All the way home to...
Waldo! Waldo!
Yes, Bloodwyn, love?
Oh, what'll the neighbors say? What'll the neighbors?
Poor Mrs. Waldo.
What she puts up with.
Never should have married.
If she didn't have to.
Same as her mother.
There's a husband for you.
Bad as his father.
And you know where he ended?
Up in the asylum.
Crying for his ma.
Every Saturday.
He hasn't got a leg.
And carrying on.
With that Mrs. Beatty Morris.
Up in the quarry.
And seen her baby?
It's got his nose.
Oh, it makes my heart bleed.
What he'll do for drink?
He sold the pianola.
And a sewing machine.
Falling in the gutter.
Talking to the lamppost.
Using language.
Singing in the W.
Poor Mrs. Waldo.
Waldo, Waldo.
Hush, love, hush. I'm widower Waldo now.
Waldo? Waldo!
Yes, our ma'am?
Oh, what'll the neighbours say? What'll the neighbours?
Black as a chimbley.
Ringing doorbells.
Raking windows.
Making mud pies.
Stealing currants.
Chalking words.
Saw him in the bushes.
Playing mochins.
Send him to bed without any supper.
Give him cenopods and lock him in the dark.
Off to the reformatory.
Off to the reformatory.
Learn him with a slipper on his BTM.
Waldo! Waldo! What are you doing with our Matty?
Give us a kiss, Muddy Richards. Give us a penny, then.
I only got a halfpenny.
Lips is a penny.
Will you take this woman, Matty Richards?
Dulcie Prothero.
Effie Bevan.
Lil the Gluepot.
Mrs. Flusher.
Blodwyn Bowen.
To be your awful wedded wife.
No! No! No!
Now, in her iceberg-white, holily laundered crinoline nightgown and the virtuous polar sheets in her spruced and scoured, dust-defying bedroom in Trig and Trim Bay View, a house for paying guests at the top of the town, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, widow twice of Mr. Ogmore Linoleum, retired, and Mr. Pritchard, failed bookmaker, who, maddened by bezooming, swabbing and scrubbing, the voice of the vacuum cleaner and the fume of polish, ironically swallowed disinfectant, fidgets in her Rin's sleep, wakes in a dream, and nudges in the ribs. Dead, Mr. Ogmore. Dead, Mr. Pritchard. Ghostly on either side.
Mr. Ogmore, Mr. Pritchard, it is time to inhale your balsam.
Oh, Mrs. Ogmore.
Oh, Mrs. Pritchard.
Soon it will be time to get up. Tell me your tasks in order.
I must put my pyjamas in the drawer marked pyjamas.
I must take my cold bath, which is good for me.
I must wear my flannel band to ward off sciatica.
I must dress behind the curtain and put on my apron.
I must blow my nose.
In the garden, if you please.
In a piece of tissue paper, which I afterwards burn.
I must take my salts, which are nature's friends.
I must boil the drinking water because of germs.
I must make my herb tea, which is free from tannin.
And have a charcoal biscuit, which is good for me.
I may smoke one pipe of asthma mixture.
In the woodshed, if you please.
And dust the parlor and spray the canary.
I must put on rubber gloves and search the peak for fleas.
I must dust the blinds and then I must raise them.
And before you let the sun in, mind it wipes its shoes.
In Butcher Bynum's, Gossamer Bynum, daughter, school teacher, Dreaming deep, daintily ferrets under a fluttering hummock of chicken's feathers in a slaughterhouse that has chintz curtains and a three-piece suite, and finds, with no surprise, a small, rough, ready man with a bushy tail winking in a paper carrier.
At last, my love.
Sighs Gossamer Bynum, and the bushy tail wags rude and ginger.
Help!
Cries Organ Morgan, the organist, in his dream.
There is perturbation and music in Coronation Street. All the spouses are honking like geese and the babies singing opera. P.C. Attila Reese has got his truncheon out and is playing cadenzas by the pump. The cows from Sunday Meadow ring like reindeer, and on the roof of Handel Villa see the women's welfare hoofing bloomered in the moon.
At the sea end of town, Mr. and Mrs. Floyd, the Cocklers, are sleeping as quiet as death. Side by wrinkled side, toothless, salt and brown, like two old kippers in a box. And high above, in Salt Lake Farm, Mr. Uta Watkins counts all night the white-faced sheep as they leap the fences on the hill, smiling and knitting and bleating, just like Mrs. Uta Watkins.
34, 35, 36, 48, 89.
Knit one, slip one, knit two together. Pass the slip stitch over.
Ocky Milkman, drowned asleep in Cockle Street, is emptying his churns into the Dewey River.
Regardless of expense.
And weeping like a funeral.
Cherry Owen, next door, lifts a tankard to his lips, but nothing flows out of it. He shakes the tankard. It turns into a fish. He drinks the fish.
P.C. Attila Reese lumps out of bed, dead to the dark and still foghorning, and drags out his helmet from under the bed. But deep in the backyard lockup of his sleep, a mean voice murmurs,
"You'll be sorry for this in the morning."
And he heave-hoes back to bed. His helmet swashes in the dark.
Willy-nilly postman, asleep up street, walks 14 miles to deliver the post, as he does every day of the night. And rat-a-tat's hard and sharp on Mrs. Willy-nilly.
"Don't spank me, please, teacher,"
whimpers his wife at his side. But every night of her married life, she has been late for school.
Sinbad Sailors, over the taproom of the Sailor's Arms, hugs his damp pillow, whose secret name is Gossamer Bynum. A mogul catches Lily Smalls in the washhouse.
"How are you, old mogul?"
Mrs. Rose Cottage's eldest, May, peels off her pink and white skin in a furnace, in a tower, in a cave, in a waterfall, in a wood, and waits there, raw as an onion, for Mr. Wright to leap up the burning, tall, hollow splashes of leaves like a brilliantine trout.
"Call me Dolores, like they do in the stories."
Alone until she dies, Bessie Bighead, hired help, born in the workhouse, smelling of the cowshed, snores bass and gruff on a couch of straw in a loft in Salt Lake Farm, and picks a posy of daisies in Sunday Meadow to put on the grave of Gomer Owen, who kissed her once by the pigsty when she wasn't looking, and never kissed her again, although she was looking all the time. And the inspectors of cruelty fly down into Mrs. Butcher Bynum's dream to persecute Mr. Bynum for selling
owl meat, dog's eyes, man chop.
Mr. Bynum, in butcher's bloodied apron, spring heels down Coronation Street, a finger not his own in his mouth. Straight-faced in his cunning sleep, he pulls the legs of his dreams and,
hunting on pigback, shoots down the wild giblets.
Help!
My foxy darling.
Now, behind the eyes and secrets of the dreamers in the streets rocked to sleep by the sea, see the
titbits and topsy-turvies, bobs and button-tops, bags and bones, ash and rind and dandruff and nail parings, saliva and snowflake and molted feathers of dreams, the wrecks and sprats and shells and fish-bones, whale juice and moonshine and small salt fry, dished up by the hidden sea.
The owls are hunting. Look, Over Bethesda gravestones, one hoots and swoops and catches a mouse by Hannah Rees, beloved wife. And in Coronation Street, which you alone can see, it is so dark under the chapel in the skies, the Reverend Eli Jenkins, poet, preacher, turns in his deep towards dawn sleep and dreams of...
I still would die.
He intricately rhymes to the music of Cruth and Pibgorn all night long in his druid seedy nighty in a beer tent black with parchs.
Mr. Pugh, schoolmaster, fathoms asleep, pretends to be sleeping, spies Foxy round the droop of his nightcap and, psst, whistles up.
Murder.
Mrs. Organ Morgan, groceress, coiled grey like a dormouse, her paws to her ears, conjures...
Silence.
She sleeps very dulcet in a cove of wool. And trumpeting Organ Morgan at her side, snores no louder than a spider.
Mary Ann Sailor's dreams of...
The Garden of Eden.
She comes in her smock frock and clogs...
Away from the cool, scrubbed, cobbled kitchen, with the Sunday school pictures on the whitewashed wall, and the farmer's almanac hung above the settle, and the sides of bacon on the ceiling hooks, and goes down the cockle-shelled paths of that apple-pie kitchen garden, ducking under the gypos' clothes pegs, catching her apron on the blackcurrant bushes, past bean rows and onion bed and tomatoes ripening on the wall, towards the old man playing the harmonium in the orchard, and sits down on the grass at his side and shells the green peas that grow up through the lap of her frock that brushes the dew.
In Donkey Street, so furred with sleep, Dye Bread, Polly Garter, No Good Boyo, and Lord Cut Glass sigh before the dawn that is about to be and dream of...
Harems.
Babies.
Nothing.
Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock.
Time passes. Listen. Time passes. An owl flies home past Bethesda to a chapel in an oak. And the dawn inches up. Stand on this hill. This is Llareggib Hill, old as the hills, high, cool, and green. And from this small circle of stones, made not by druids, but by Mrs. Bynum's Billy, you can see all the town below you sleeping in the first of the dawn. You can hear the lovesick wood pigeons mooning in bed. A dog barks in his sleep farmyards away. The town ripples like a lake in the waking haze. The principality of the sky lightens now over our green hill into spring morning, larked and crowed and belling. Who pulls the town hall bell rope but blind Captain Cat? One by one, the sleepers are wrung out of sleep this one morning as every morning. And soon you shall see the chimneys slow up-flying snow as Captain Cat, in sailor's cap and sea boots, announces today with his loud get-out-of-bed bell.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins in Bethesda House gropes out of bed into his preacher's black, combs back his bard's white hair, forgets to wash, pads barefoot downstairs, opens the front door, stands in the doorway, and looking out at the day and up at the eternal hill and hearing the sea break and the gab of birds, remembers his own verses and tells them softly to empty Coronation Street that is rising and raising its blinds.
Dear Gwalia, I know there are towns lovelier than ours, and fairer hills and loftier far, and groves more full of flowers, and boskier woods more blithe with spring, and bright with birds adorning, and sweeter bards than I to sing their praise this beauteous morning. By Cader Idris tempest torn, or Moiler Uyddfa's glory, Carnedd Llywelyn beauty born, Plynlimmon old in story, by mountains where King Arthur dreams, by Penmaen Mawr defiant, Llareggib Hill a molehill seems, a pygmy to a giant. By Souther, Senny, Dovey, Dee, Edu, Eden, Aled, all, Taff and Towey, broad and free, Llyfnant with its waterfall, Clairwen, Cleddai, Dilais, Daw, Ely, Gwely, Ogwr, Nedd. Small is our river Dewi, Lord, a baby on a rushy bed. By Carreg Kennen, king of time, our heron head is only a bit of stone with seaweed spread, where gulls come to be lonely. A tiny dingle is Milkwood by Golden Grove neath Gronga. But let me choose, and oh, I should love all my life and longer to stroll among our trees and stray in Guzgog Lane on Donkey Down and hear the Dewi sing all day and never, never leave the town.
The Reverend Jenkins closes the front door. His morning service is over. Now, woken at last by the out-of-bed sleepyhead, Polly put the kettle on town hall bell. Lily Smalls, Mrs. Bynum's treasure, comes downstairs from a dream of royalty who all night long went larking with her, full of sauce, in the milkwood dark, and puts the kettle on the primus ring in Mrs. Bynum's kitchen and looks at herself in Mr. Bynum's shaving glass over the sink and sees...
Oh, there's her face. Where you get that hair from? Got it from old Tomcat? Give it back, then, love. Oh, there's a perm. Where you get that nose from, Lily? Got it from my father, silly. You got it on upside down? Oh, there's a conk. Look at your complexion. Oh, no, you look. Needs a bit of makeup. Needs a veil. Oh, there's glamour. Where you get that smile, Lil? Never you mind, girl. Nobody loves you. That's what you think. Who is it loves you? Chantel. Come on, Lily. Cross your heart, then. Cross my heart.
And very softly, her lips almost touching her reflection, she breathes the name and clouds the shaving glass.
Lily?
Yes, ma'am?
Where's my tea, girl?
Where do you think? In the cat box. Coming up, ma'am.
Mr. Pugh, in the schoolhouse opposite, takes up the morning tea to Mrs. Pugh and whispers on the stairs.
Here's your arsenic, dear, and your weed killer biscuit. I've throttled your parakeet, I've spat in the vases, I've put cheese in the mouse holes. Here's your nice tea, dear.
Too much sugar.
You haven't tasted it yet, dear.
Too much milk, then. Has Mr. Jenkins said his poetry?
Yes, dear.
Then it's time to get up. Give me my glasses. No, not my reading glasses. I want to look out. I want to see.
Lily Smalls, the treasure, down on her red knees washing the front step.
She's tucked her dress in a bloomers. Oh, the baggage.
P.C. Attila Reese, ox broad, barge booted, stamping out of handcuff house in a beef red huff. Black-browed under his damp helmet.
He's going to arrest Polly Garter, mark my words.
What for, dear?
For having babies.
And lumbering down towards the Strand to see that the sea is still there. Mary Ann the Sailors, opening her bedroom window and above the taproom and calling out to the heavens,
I'm 85 years, 3 months and a day.
I will say this for her. She never makes a mistake.
Organ Morgan at his bedroom window, playing chords on the sill to the morning fishwife gulls who, heckling over Donkey Street, observe...
Me, dye bread, hurry into the bakery, pushing in my shirt tails, button in my waistcoat, ping goes a button. Why can't they sew them? No time for breakfast, nothing for breakfast. There's wives for you.
Me, Mrs. Dye Bread one, capped and shawled and all corset. Nice to be comfy. Be nice to be nice. Clogging on the cobbles to stir up a neighbour. Oh, Mrs. Sarah, can you spare a loaf, love? Dye Bread forgot the bread. It's a lovely morning. How's your boils this morning? Isn't that good news now? It's a change to sit down. Ta, Mrs. Sarah.
Me, Mrs. Dyebread, too. Gypsy to kill in a silky scarlet petticoat above my knees. Dirty, pretty knees. See my body through my petticoat, brown as a berry. High heel shoes with one heel missing. Tortoiseshell comb in my bright black slinky hair. Nothing else at all but a dab of scent. Lolling gaudy at the doorway. Tell your fortune in the tea leaves, scowling at the sunshine, lighting up my pipe.
Me, Lord Cutglass, in an old frock coat belonged to Ellie Jenkins and a pair of postman's trousers from Bethesda Jumble, running out the doors to empty slops. Oh, mine there, Rover. And then running in again. Tick-tock.
Me, a no-good boyo, up to no good in the washhouse.
Me, Miss Price, in my pretty print housecoat, deft at the clothesline, natty as a Jenny Wren. Then pit-pat back to my egg in its cosy, my crisp toast fingers, my homemade plum and butter pat.
Me, Polly Garter, under the washing line, giving the breast in the garden to my bonny new baby. Nothing grows in our garden, only washing and babies. And where's their fathers live, my love? Over the hills and far away. You're looking up at me now. I know what you're thinking, you poor little milky creature. You're thinking you're no better than you should be, Polly, and that's good enough for me. Oh, isn't life a terrible thing, thank God?
Now frying pans spit, kettles and cats purr in the kitchen. The town smells of seaweed and breakfast all the way down from Bayview, where Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, in smock and turban, big bezoom to engage the dust, picks at her starchless bread and sips lemon-rind tea, to Bottom Cottage, where Mr. Waldo, in bowler and bib, gobbles his bubble and squeak and kippers and swigs from the sauce bottle.
Mary Ann the Sailors.
Praises the Lord who made porridge.
Mr. Pugh.
Remembers ground glass as he juggles his omelette.
Mrs. Pugh.
Nags the salt cellar.
Willy-nilly postman.
Downs his last bucket of black brackish tea and rumbles out bandy to the clucking back where the hens twitch and grieve for their tea-soaked sops.
Mrs. Willy-nilly.
Full of tea to her double-chinned brim. Broods and bubbles over her coven of kettles on the hissing hot range. Always ready to steam open the mail.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins.
Finds a rhyme and dips his pen in his cocoa.
Lord Cutglass in his ticking kitchen.
Scampers from clock to clock. A bunch of clock keys in one hand, a fish head in the other.
Captain Cat in his galley.
Blind and fine-fingered savours his sea fry.
Mr. and Mrs. Cherry Owen, in their Donkey Street room that is bedroom, parlour, kitchen and scullery, sit down to last night's supper of onions boiled in their overcoats and broth of spuds and bacon rind and leeks and bones.
See that smudge on the wall by the picture of Auntie Blossom? That's where you threw the sago. You only missed me by an inch.
I always miss Auntie Blossom, too.
Remember last night? In you reeled, my boy, drunk as a deacon, with a big wet bucket and a fish frail full of stout. And you looked at me and you said, God has come home, you said. And then over the bucket you went, sprawling and bawling, and the floor was all flagons and eels.
Was I wounded?
And then you took off your trousers and you said, does anybody want a fight? You old baboon.
Give me a kiss.
And then you sang Aberystwyth. Tenor and bass.
I always sing Aberystwyth.
And then you did a little dance on the table.
I did.
Drop dead.
And then what did I do?
Then you cried like a baby and said you were a poor drunk orphan with nowhere to go but the grave.
And what did I do next, my dear?
Then you danced on the table all over again and said you were King Solomon Owen and I was your Mrs. Sheba.
And then?
And then I got you into bed and you snored all night like a brewery.
From Bynan Butcher's in Coronation Street, the smell of fried liver sidles out with onions on its breath. And listen, in the dark breakfast room behind the shop, Mr. and Mrs. Bynan, waited upon by their treasure, enjoy between bites their every morning hullabaloo. and Mrs. Bynum slips the gristly bits under the tasseled tablecloth to her fat cat.
She likes the liver, Ben.
She ought to do, Bess. It's her brother's.
Oh, do you hear that, Lily?
Yes, ma'am.
We're eating Puscat.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you cat butcher.
It was doctored, mine.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Yesterday we had mole.
Oh, Lily, Lily.
Monday, otter. Tuesday, shrews.
Oh, go on, Mrs. Bynum. He's the biggest liar in town.
Don't you dare say that about Mr. Bynum.
Everybody knows it, ma'am.
Mr. Bynum never tells a lie. Do you, Ben?
No, Bess. And now I'm going out after the corgis with my little cleaver.
Oh, Lily, Lily.
Up the street in the Sailor's Arms, Sinbad Sailors, grandson of Mary Ann the Sailors, draws a pint in the sunlit bar. The ship's clock in the bar says 11:30. 11:30 is opening time. The hands of the clock have stayed still at 11:30 for 50 years. It is always opening time in the Sailor's Arms.
Here's to me, Sinbad.
All over the town, babies and old men are cleaned and put into their broken prams and wheeled onto the sunlit cockled cobbles or out into the backyards under the dancing underclothes and left. A baby cries.
I want my pipe when he wants his butter.
Noses are wiped, heads picked, hair combed, paws scrubbed, ears boxed, and the children shrilled off to school. Fishermen grumble to their nets. No Good Boyo goes out in the dinghy Zanzibar, ships the oars, drifts slowly in the dab-filled bay, and lying on his back in the unbaled water, among crabs' legs and tangled lines, looks up at the spring sky.
I don't know who's up there, and I don't care.
He turns his head and looks up at Llareggub Hill, and sees among green, lathered trees the white houses of the strewn-away farms, where farm boys whistle, dogs shout, cows low, but all too far away for him or you to hear. And in the town, the shops squeak open. Mr. Edwards, in butterfly collar and straw hat at the doorway of Manchester House, measures with his eye the dawdlers by for striped flannel shirts and shrouds and flowery blouses, and bellows to himself in the darkness behind his eye.
I love Miss Price.
Syrup is sold in the post office. A car drives to market full of fowls and a farmer. Milk churns stand at Coronation Corner like short, silver policemen. And sitting at the open window of Schooner House, blind Captain Cat hears all the mourning of the town.
Maggie Richards, Ricky Reyes, Tommy Powell. Our Sal, little Gerwain. Billy Swansea with the dog's voice. One of Mr. Waldo's. Nasty Humphrey. Jackie with a sniff. Where's Dickie's Albie and the boys from Tea Pant? Perhaps they got the rash again.
Ow!
Oh, somebody's hit Maggie Richards. 2-1, it's Billy Swansea. Never trust a boy who barks. Right again, it's Billy.
And the children's voices cry away.
That's willy-nilly knocking at Bayview. Rat-a-tat, very soft. The knocker's got a kid glove on. Who sent a letter to Mrs. Ockbar Pritchard? Oh, careful now. She swabs the front glassy. Every step's like a bar of soap. Mind your size, Dulcis. That old Bessie would beeswax the lawn to make the birds slip.
Morning, Mrs. Lockmore Pritchard.
Good morning, postman.
Here is a letter for you with stamped and address envelope enclosed all the way from Bilthwells. A gentleman wants to study birds and can he have accommodation for 2 weeks and a bath? Vegetarian.
No.
You wouldn't know he was in the house, Mrs. Lockmore Pritchard. He'd be out in the mornings at the bang of dawn with his bag of breadcrumbs and his little telescope.
And come home at all hours covered with feathers.
I don't want persons in my nice, clean rooms breathing all over the chairs.
Cross my heart, he won't breathe.
And putting their feet on my carpets and sneezing on my china and sleeping in my sheets.
He only wants a single bed, Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard.
And back she goes to the kitchen to polish the potatoes.
Captain Cat hears willy-nilly's feet heavy on the distant cobbles.
2, 3, 4, 5. That's Mrs. Rose's cottage. What's today? Today she gets a letter from her sister in Gorslas. How's the twins' teeth? Ah, he's stopping at schoolhouse.
Morning, Mrs. Pugh. Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard won't have a gentleman in from Bilthwell's because he's sleeping in the sheets. Mrs. Rose Cottage's sister and God's lass's twins have got to have him out.
Give me the parcel.
It's for Mr. Pugh, Mrs. Pugh.
Never you mind. What's inside it?
A book called Lives of the Great Poisoners.
That's Manchester House.
Morning, Mr. Edwards.
Morning, willy-nilly.
Very small news. Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard won't have birds in the house. And Mr. Pugh's bought a book now on how to do in Mrs. Pugh.
Have you got a letter from her?
Miss Price loves you with all her heart, smelling of lavender today. She's down to the last of the elderflower wine, but the quince jam's bearing up and she's knitting roses on the doilies. Last week, she sold 3 jars of boiled sweets, pound of humbugs, half a box of jelly babies and 6 coloured photos of Thurigib. Yours forever, then 21 X's.
Oh, willy-nilly, she's a ruby. Here's my letter. Put it into her hands now.
Mr. Waldo hurrying to the sailor's arms, pinter stout with a hick in it. Oh, there's a letter for him.
It's another paternity summons, Mr. Waldo.
The quick footsteps hurry on along the cobbles and up 3 steps to the sailor's arms.
Quick, Sinbad, pinter stout, and no egging.
People are moving now, up and down the cobbled street.
All the women are out this morning, in the sun. You can tell it's spring. There goes Mrs. Cherry. You can tell her by her trotter. Off she trots, new as a daisy. Who's that talking by the pump? Mrs. Floyd and Boyo talking flatfish. What can you talk about, flatfish? That's Mrs. Dyebred, one, waltzing up the street like a jelly. Every time she shakes, it's slap, slap, slap. Who's that? Mrs. Butcher Bainan with a pet black cat. It follows her everywhere, meow and all. Ah, oh, there goes Mrs. 23, important. The sun gets up and goes down in her dewlap. When she shuts her eyes, it's night. High heels now, in the morning too. Mrs. Rose Cottage's eldest, May. 17 and never been kissed. Going young and milking under my window to the field with the nanny goats. She reminds me all the way. Can't hear what the women are gapping round the pump. Same as ever. Who's having a baby? Who blacked whose eye? Seen Polly Garter giving her belly an airing. There should be a law. See Mrs. Bainon's new mauve jumper? It's her old grey jumper dyed. Who's dead? Who's dying? There's a lovely day. Oh, the cost of soap flakes. Morgan Morgan's at it early. You can tell it's spring.
And he hears the noise of milk cans.
Lucky milkman on his round. I will say this, his milk's as fresh as the dew. Half dew it is. Snuffle on, Nocky, water in the town. Somebody's coming. Now the voices round the pump can see somebody come in. Hush. It's hush. You can tell by the noise of the hush it's Polly Garter.
Hello, Polly. Who's there?
Me, love.
That's Polly Garter. Hello, Polly, my love. Can you hear the dumb gooses of the wives as they huddle and peck or flounce at a waddle away? Who cuddled you when? Which of their gandering huppies moaned in milk wood for your naughty mothering arms and body like a wardrobe, love? Scrub the floors of the welfare hall for the Mother's Union social dance. Your one mother won't wriggle her roly-poly bum or pat her fat little buttery foot in that wedding-ringed holy tonight. Or the waltzing breadwinner snatched from the cosy smoke of the sailor's arms will grizzle and mope.